Awesome. Well, if you guys have never met me, I'm Shayna. And about 5 months ago, my husband and I, with an awesome team, went out to Phoenix, Arizona, and we started a church there. And I can't believe it's already been 5 months. But honestly, I have to tell you that when we went out to Phoenix, I really never knew, although I had been told, that God was literally going to send me out into the fire. And I mean literally, it's really hot there. And if you guys already know this, and I'm sure you do, Phoenix is, it's really hot. It's really, 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 really hot. And but there are some good things about that. I'm getting to do some things in Phoenix that I was never able to do when I lived in Albuquerque. I now pay almost as much to cool my house as I do to live there. But it kind of evens out because my car doubles as an oven. Our sidewalk I use to fry eggs in the morning, which is awesome. And I can also now bathe, take a warm bath in our neighborhood bathtub, bathtub, which is what I call it, but some of you call it a swimming pool. Yeah, so there are a lot of things that I can do in Phoenix that I couldn't do. No, it is true what they say, the heat is actually pretty much the worst thing ever, but we're so happy there, and we really feel like, I know, we're so happy there, but the heat is the worst thing ever. It is. It really is. But God is really doing a mighty work there, and we feel like we're right in the center of God's will, and really, that's all it takes for me to be happy, so I'm pretty easy. Just to know that I'm in the center of God's will, but more than that, he is doing radical things through the lives of believers there, and he's bringing a lot of people to the faith, and we're getting to be right in the middle of it. So I just want to thank you. You guys have been an excellent first family of the faith, and you are just an absolute treasure to come home to. And to those of you who have sent gifts of encouragement and phone calls and emails and other things I should have sent thank you cards for but haven't yet, I just thank you now. Does this count? I really am thankful. It's just so awesome how God is, and he sends just the right thing at just the right time. And God's really used you all. So you're awesome. Well, tonight, I really feel like God wants to bring a little heat into our lives. And now you might be thinking, oh my goodness, I came here and she's going to preach hellfire and brimstone. Well, maybe. But I was thinking of that term, bring the heat. And I was listening to preachers, and, you know, I like to listen to different preachers online. And last week I was listening to Levi Lesko up in Montana. And can we just praise God for what God has done in Montana? Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, I listened to my husband, and I listened to other pastors that I listened to Skip. And I hear people just bring it. And you know when you just feel like, yeah. No, does everyone get that feeling? I get that feeling a lot. I'm just like, they brought it. They brought the heat. It was awesome. Well, I thought that the other day, and then I had to kind of stop and think, what does that even mean? And so I went to the source of all knowledge, to the Urban Dictionary. And if you've never been on Urban Dictionary, don't, because it has a lot of bad things on it. But sometimes they have good things. And this, in this case, that term bring the heat actually means to add power to anything. And I really think, this is according to Urban Dictionary, which is the source of all knowledge. But it means to add power. And I really think that when we look at God as holy, he adds power to our lives as Christians. Because seeing God as holy, well, it does a couple things. It reveals our own lack of holiness. And it also stirs us to take the message of Jesus and the message of the gospel to the streets. And so I really believe that God has you here tonight because he wants to bring the heat into your life. And you believe that tonight? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you this question. You'll hear me ask it a couple times. Hopefully by the end of this message, you'll have an answer. I want to say, do you want to be used by God? Is your God holy? And we're going to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll be in verses 1 through 8 here, and we're going to look at three things that happen to Isaiah when he comes and he encounters the holy God. We sang about it earlier during worship, but we sang the scripture right out of this passage here. We see that Isaiah sees that God is holy, that he recognizes that he and his people, not so holy. And then he receives God's method for holiness, and he's ready to take that message to the streets. So I ask again, is your God holy? Now, some of you are thinking, Shayna, how do I know? Well, I'm glad you're here, because I think that God wants to tell us how we know. How can we know if our God is holy? We can look at this text and see, how did Isaiah know? Because Isaiah knew that his God was holy. And so we're going to start reading in this text, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered the faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah sees that his God is holy. And so as Isaiah sees God high and lifted up, and he hears the angels calling, holy, 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 and notice that they're not just calling holy, holy. They're not just calling holy, but they're calling holy, holy, holy. And now, something that we need to know here, ladies, is that Isaiah hadn't just eaten some of Grandma's spicy chile. You know, I ate some chile for the first time in a long time, and today, this afternoon, and I've got a little bit of heartburn. That's not what's happening in Isaiah chapter 6. He actually sees an actual revelation from the Lord. He sees a picture from heaven of God being holy. Now, the Bible says that this revelation happened in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, it's important to notice this because we notice maybe Isaiah's frame of mind when God chose to give him this particular revelation. Well, 2 Kings 15:3 says that, speaking of King Uzziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So this guy was a pretty good guy. And he wasn't perfect, of course, but out of 40 kings, Uzziah was one of only 8 that the Bible says was a good guy. So I can imagine, now here's Isaiah thinking, well, now God, you've taken away one of only 8 good kings. Now the probability of him getting a bad king on the throne was probably not so good. We can assume that Isaiah would have been bummed, but when his king had died, God decided to show him a picture of the King of Kings who reigns and lives forever. That was God's choice of comfort. What does God reveal to himself about Isaiah in that moment? That he's holy. He says, Isaiah, I know that you're hurting, but I'm holy. Now, to me, that seems like a strange form of comfort. I mean, I would think that Isaiah would have rather seen a picture of King Uzziah up in heaven wearing a t-shirt that says, I made it, or maybe some sort of 30-second trailer of the future king that said, you know, where the end ended up being everything was all good and he was happy in that. I think that those things would have brought Isaiah comfort, but God is God and he knows better than me, amen? And so he chose to show instead Isaiah a bit of the bigger picture. He says, kings would die, the King of Kings lives. And that king is holy. That word holy means clean, pure, free from defilement. It also means set apart, separate. I just got a tweet. Whoops, that's the problem with using an iPad. I should have turned it on airplane mode. Thanks for that, guys. but holy and free from defilement. See, in the midst of God's pain, in the midst of Isaiah's pain, God reveals himself as perfect. So what does that mean for you and for me tonight? Well, if God is perfect, ladies, if he is holy, if your God is holy, then you can trust he doesn't make mistakes. He knows exactly where you are. He hasn't forgotten about your situation. Are you hurting? He's holy. Are you anxious? He's holy. Are you fearful tonight? He is holy. And you can take comfort knowing that it is the holy God that watches over you. But ladies, the second thing that we see just in these few verses is that you have to see it for yourself. See, Isaiah was a God-fearing man, but he had to see a picture of God as holy before he could take it and before he could embrace that. And you need to see it too. See, even if I were an expert on God's holiness, which you can tell by my awkward moment about the tweet, that I am not. But I have experienced the power of God's holiness. And even if I could put it into words for you, and even if I were the most eloquent, polished speaker that you have ever seen, which I am not, clearly, I wouldn't be able to make you see God as holy. You have to see it for yourself, and that's a divine revelation that God wants to give to you. He wants to show himself holy so that you can trust in him. And you have to seek him in order to see him. Is your God holy? You'll know it when you see his holiness. If your God is holy, not only will you see God as holy, but the second thing we see that happens to Isaiah is that he says, uh-oh, me and my people, not so holy. Isaiah chapter 6, read with me. It says in verse 5, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, which he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah responds to the holiness of God by the acknowledgement that he is not holy. He would have known. The book of Leviticus says, God says four times in the book of Leviticus, be holy, for I am holy. This phrase appears after a section of laws telling you what not to eat or what not to do. And that these laws tell us, and he would have understood, that God is holy and he expects us to be holy too. But Isaiah would have also realized, I cannot do it. I haven't been able to do it. And despite his efforts, he isn't able to do it. He was unable to keep the law perfectly. And immediately he became burdened by his own unholiness. Now, he saw the big picture. See, the problem was much bigger than the death of his king. He was now faced with separation from God. And ladies, it is far worse to be separated from God than to be separate for him. We live in an increasingly evil time. I know I don't have to convince you of that. You all know it if you turned on the news. Our standards for marriage are declining. Our judicial system decides that mothers who tape their children and attempt to cover up their death will not be held responsible. I read a story about a 10-year-old girl in Yemen who was seeking a divorce from her 40-year-old husband because he was forcing himself to share the marriage bed with this child. We live in an increasingly evil time. And maybe evil has been going on. You say, but Shayna, come on, these things have been happening. Yeah, but you know what? We're letting him into our house through our television set. And I'm not saying get rid of your television set. I'm saying recognize, ladies, that it is evil. That this is what's happening in our world and it is evil. See, we almost expect our politicians to lie, to cheat, and to involve themselves in scandal. And we have access to these kinds of things in greater ways today than we ever have before. And our standards of holiness, because of these things, sometimes become so diluted that we choose to look at the world and say, the world is evil, so we're holy. Because the world is evil, and I don't do what they're doing. And ladies, Isaiah was a God-fearing man, but he looked at a holy God. And our standard of righteousness is not this world. It's God, and he is holy. And make no mistake, ladies, God hates our sin. He hates it. Leviticus 20, verse 23 says, you must not live according to the customs of the nations I am going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them. That word abhorred means to regard with extreme repugnance or aversion, to detest utterly, to loathe, to abominate. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict. See, Isaiah recognized, he would have known those scriptures, right? And he recognized that half of these sins are sins of the mouth. And he had failed in just that one little area, seemingly little area. And that meant he wasn't so holy, not when compared to a holy God. And so he had to recognize that although he had worked to keep the law, when he had to come face to face with a holy God, and he came to terms with his own inability to keep it perfect. But there's good news. And that's that God had provided a way for Isaiah to be clean. And God's way is holy. Verses 6 through 7, I know I already read them, but I'm going to backtrack just a minute. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. His way is holy, and it involves separation from our sin. The angel takes this burning coal, and he literally brings the heat to Isaiah's mouth. And he separates him for the work of the Lord. See, that fire would burn away the imperfections, and his sin would be atoned for, and he was forgiven. Now, if heat in our land worked like this, then I would die the holiest woman on earth, because Phoenix is hot. And surely my imperfections are being melted away. But God says, no, Shana, your way is still unholy, but I'm going to provide you a holy way. And so he did that in the person of Jesus Christ. See, God hates sin. He abhors it. It's disgusting. He thinks it's just plain disgusting. And he's holy. And because he's holy, he will not overlook it. Make no mistake, God will not overlook sin. And he will not change his standard for holiness. As our standard of holiness dilutes, God stays the same. But he loves you. And he loves me. And so he said, he's provided a way for us to be forgiven. And that way is through the person and the blood of Jesus Christ. See, God sent Jesus, the only man who ever lived a 100% pure and holy life, to die a brutal and bloody death on the cross, to take the fullness of our sin so that we could be forgiven. Now, I know we've heard that a million times, and sometimes we think, we got it, and it falls on deaf ears. But don't let it. If you believe that, then live it. See, you cannot be holy apart from Jesus. You cannot. I cannot. But with Jesus, you're covered in his blood. You're clothed in his righteousness. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, he is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. And when God looks at you, Christian, he sees Jesus. Will I always do that perfectly? No, of course not. But woe is me if I don't do my very best to walk according to His truth and stay hidden in His blood. Because I believe what Jude says, that He is able to keep our feet from stumbling. I believe that He is powerful enough, that I do sin and I will sin and I acknowledge that, but it is only because I take my eyes off of Jesus. It is not because He is not strong enough to keep me from sinning. He is holy. And I understand that maybe this is a little bit heavy. I understand that sometimes we feel the weight of our sin and say, this isn't as fun. But maybe you're feeling that weight tonight, and maybe you've even accepted Jesus as Savior, but you'll readily admit He's not your Lord over everything. And you see Him tonight, and you see Him as holy, and you recognize that you're not so holy, and your sin is eating away at you. See, the two go hand in hand. Jesus offers Himself as Savior and Lord. And you can't separate the two and choose, I accept you as Savior, Jesus, but I do not accept you as Lord. The two go hand in hand. See, to come to Christ means that you will pick up your cross and that you will follow Him. And that although you will stumble along the way, we fight our sin nature to the death to live a life that honors a holy God. Because our God is holy. And if you don't feel like you're in a battle tonight against your flesh, I gotta ask you, is your God holy? You cannot be confronted with a holy God and not realize you are part of an unholy people. And if that's not you, if Jesus isn't the Lord over every area of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to change that. And maybe it's a little unconventional. I didn't wait till the end of the service. But I just really feel like God maybe has a word that He wants to speak to you, and you won't be able to hear it with sin weighing heavily on your heart. And so I want to give you a chance to admit that God's way for your holiness is holy, and it is readily available. And He says, just come. And so if that's you and you're in this room, I want to give you just an opportunity to say, yes, that's me. God is not the Lord over my life. And maybe I accepted Him as Savior, but I don't always accept Him as Lord. And I want to say, Lord, I accept You. I accept You as Lord over my life, and I want to stay hidden in Your blood. If that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to just raise up your hand. I see your hand. And I believe that there's more. I know that this hit me like a freight train. It hit me like a freight train, ladies. And I've been a Christian for a long time. But I realized that, Lord, like, You are holy. You are holy. And that has to affect every area of my life. And I have to let that sink in and permeate every area and everything that I do. Has to have purpose, and that purpose is to serve a holy God. And I saw another hand come up, and I just want to give you one more opportunity. If that's you, and you'll say yes, yes to, not to me, not to me. I'm just some silly girl with stretchy pants on up here. You're not saying yes to me. You're not even saying yes to a church, although a church is an awesome way to get plugged in with other Christians. You're just saying, yes, Lord. You are holy. He is holy. So if that's you, just go ahead and raise up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just take some time, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray. Father, we thank You, God. We thank You that You confront us with a holy God, Lord. And so I pray now that as we've just recognized that You are holy and we are not so holy, that You would teach us how to stay hidden in Jesus, Lord. That when we're hidden in Him, You see us as holy, God. You see us as holy. And that You're looking for unholy people who are just willing to abandon everything and stay hidden in You. So I pray, Lord, that You would just just be with us now. As we continue to study and we continue to see that what happens to Isaiah when he sees you as holy. I thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Let's just clap, because you know what? It's freeing. There's freedom, right? There is freedom in recognizing that, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it. But he did it. And so I have one goal in my life, and that's to stay hidden. That's it. One goal. So don't worry about all the other things. Your only job as you leave here today is to stay hidden in Jesus. I can handle one thing. One thing. That's it. Okay. Well, God is holy, ladies, but it doesn't end with us. See, when we see God as holy, we're not only burdened for our own sin, we're also burdened for the sin around us. And we're willing to take it to the streets. Take what you say? The message of his holiness. You're willing to say, my God is holy. And I'm going to tell everybody I know about that holy God. See, Satan is causing quite a storm. And people God loves are dying in the middle of it. And we who know that ought to be on the rescue team. I'm going to share a video for you. It's right here. Right there on that black screen. This is a video. What you're looking at is a storm last week that hit Phoenix. Have any of you guys, you can just by a show of hands, you guys saw the videos? Well, if you haven't, there it is. This is called a haboob. Isn't that a fun word? Come on. It's kind of funny. I said it like 40 times, and then I taught my kids to say it. I'm not so holy. But, yeah. But this is the storm, and you can just see how the storm completely rolled in, covered the city of Phoenix. It was crazy. In fact, I heard a testimony from Misty Foster, who was just saying today that her sister had said that at sometimes when you're out there in one of those storms, the people are actually having to link their hands together and walk because the dust, this is just dust, by the way. Oh, yeah, that's, ooh, wow, missed an important part, Shayna. Hello. Yeah, it's just dust. Yeah, that's just like dirt and dust and disgustingness. And, yeah, it's pretty much the worst thing ever next to the heat. So the heat and then the haboob. Although the haboob is redeemed by the fun name. Anyway. There is a point to this video. Okay, so I got to tell you, that storm, as awful as it was, I got a call from my husband at around, 8 o'clock, saying, Shayna, are you okay? How are you and the kids? And I said, yeah, we're good. We're just chilling, eating cookies. And he's like, there's like a horrible storm going on. And, you know, so I turn on the news and I was like, you don't say. Wow, right in the middle of it. I mean, I was like, really? Here? No way. I mean, I noticed it was a little bit windy, but I was inside. It didn't bother me. I was right inside, and I was safe, and I was comfortable, and I was cozy, and the storm did not affect me in the least, except for to get to say the word haboob for about a week and probably continue to say it. That was the only effect. See, I was comfortable. And I did, and the storm, even though it was happening all around me, it didn't affect me. I didn't go outside. I didn't care, really, if the neighbor's cat was caught up in the storm or if they had to put their trash out or if, I don't know. I didn't, honestly, it never even crossed my mind that people were driving in this, including my husband, who would later have to drive home in the haboob. I didn't care because I was cozy in my house and I never even thought to think maybe people were affected by this storm. But it had huge consequences on the city of Phoenix. I mean, tons of people were without power. There were car accidents. It was dangerous. It was 0% visibility. They said they had not seen a haboob like that in years. I just wanted to say it one more time before I move on. But they hadn't seen a storm like that, but I didn't notice because I was inside. Well, ladies, there is a storm going on. Satan is brewing up a storm of wickedness, and we cannot stay inside where it's safe. We cannot. We must take the message of a holy God and be lights in the midst of the storm. We must put on our rescue packs and march out there into the storm, because God is holy, and that is the only thing that will save people. See, Isaiah was burdened not only for his own sin, but for the sin around him. In verse 5, he says, "I live among a people of unclean lips." He recognized that there were people that needed to see God as holy. I'm going to read you a poem. Now, I want to just go ahead and say that this poem was not written by someone with any sort of knowledge of poetry. And so if you are that, or if you are such a person, I have nothing to say to that. But this was just written by a girl who loves Jesus and is burdened for the lost. It says, "I should have minded my own business. That's a lie I heard today. When I saw a woman weeping and I couldn't look away. I couldn't close my eyes. She wasn't going anywhere. And it seemed a little awkward to pretend that I didn't care. I had no remedy for her heartbreak. Nothing I had quite seemed to fit. I was helpless to console her, but somehow I would not quit. I couldn't heal her broken heart. I couldn't take back what she had lost. And how could I convince her anything was worth the cost? You see, I've never lost a child, but then even if I had, her pain would not be my pain, and she'd still hurt just as bad. What she needed in that moment, I was powerless to give. But I told her about a God who sent his son that she might live. See, he has counted every teardrop, and he knows each child by name. And although sorrow overwhelms us, by his mercy, he sustains. It took 10 minutes for my day to stop and listen to her share. And I saw joy in troubled eyes, amazed that anyone would care. To take 10 minutes of my time on an otherwise normal day to stand and listen to a stranger when I could have walked away. I should have minded my own business. Besides, what would people say? Certainly, I had an angle or some great reward along the way. So here it is. My driving factor, the motivation of my heart. There are too many hurting people, and loving them is just a start. See, if we don't give them Jesus, have we really loved at all? We've just covered up their wounds and laid a thin padding for their fall. He is the only one who heals. He is the only one who saves. He is the Alpha and Omega, and he is the name above all names. And he came to break the captives, to break the chains of sin, and to set the captives free. But when I choose to mind my own business, I forget that those chains once held me. See, ladies, if you've realized tonight that you're not so holy, and if you've embraced that God made a way to make you holy, then you have to take it to the streets. Because there are people that need to know. There are people that you come in contact with every day that need to hear about Jesus. There are people here in the United States. Oh, not in the United States where there's a church around every corner. Yes, in the United States where there is a church around every corner. You have neighbors, and you have friends, and you have coworkers, and you have people everywhere that need to hear that your God is holy. So if you believe that, we have a responsibility. See, Isaiah saw that his God was holy. And immediately he realized that not only was he in big trouble, but there was a world of big trouble. And when he was cleansed of his sin, see, I wonder if he stood in amazement, thinking, "You can be made holy?" And then it sort of acknowledged it, thinking, "You can be made holy!" It was here, in this place of recognition, just like we did. We all said, "God, make us holy." But it was here that Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord saying in verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, here am I, send me. It was here that Isaiah hears God's voice. And I don't believe that Isaiah's response was a wimpy one. I don't believe he sat in back and said, me? I mean, I guess. I mean, if somebody else doing it? I mean, this is kind of weird. I mean, I guess I'll go. No, I believe that Isaiah took a stand and said, yes, Lord, I am here. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Whatever you ask. See, Isaiah didn't even know what God was calling him to do, and maybe had he known, he wouldn't have gone. Who knows? But he just said, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to go. Let's wrap our minds around that idea for a minute, that a holy God is looking for unholy people. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God wants to bring the heat into your life, to add power to your walk, to strengthen your heart so that you can be used mightily by him and for his kingdom. Now, why does God go to an unholy people? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I was talking to my friend Barb earlier today. If I was God, I wouldn't have gone to an unholy people. I mean, if I was God and I could say, I'm God, I'm perfect, I would have just said, I got this. I can do it by myself. But God loved you, and he wanted to use your life to take the message of a holy God to an unholy world. And if you've recognized that God is holy, that should be your response. You should say, yes, God, I want a part of that. Because I acknowledge that I am an unholy people, but you are a holy God. And for some crazy reason, you love me. And you want to use my life. And so I want to say, yes, Lord. That power comes from his Holy Spirit in you. And he offers that freely. And so I ask you one last time tonight, is your God holy? And I believe that some of you are here tonight and you're just wiggling in your seat and you know that God is holy. You've seen him as holy. You felt the ache of seeing yourself and you are genuinely burdened for the world, but you feel powerless. But God is holy and he's looking for you. He wants to add power in your life. And if that's you, and you want to say like Isaiah said, here am I, God. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Send me. When you tell me to go tell my neighbor or just that random woman in the grocery store, I will fight my insecurities and I will just go. If that's you, and you're wanting to say, I want in on this fight, I want to stay hidden by Jesus. I want the power of his Holy Spirit. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand up and take a stand right now. You can just stand up right now and say, you know what? My God is holy. My God is holy. And I want to go. Amen. Amen. Father, you are holy. God, you are holy, holy, holy. And I thank you for this holy moment, Lord. I thank you that you have spoken to the hearts of these women, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will just empower them with your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would bring the heat in their life, that they would not even be able to get home tonight without an experience and an opportunity to share Jesus with someone, Lord. I pray that you would start a radical revival, that you would use this amazing church, this amazing ministry right here in Albuquerque, Lord, and that you would start your own kind of storm. And that it would just take over this city, Lord. I pray that these women are never, ever, ever the same, Lord, but that they are radically changed like Isaiah was from seeing that their God is holy. And we believe that you have the power to do that. And we thank you, Jesus, that you've chosen us to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you. And ladies, if there are some of you, there's going to be some leadership here tonight who would love to pray with you. So if anybody needs to pray, and awesome, go out and change the world for Jesus.